I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, now that Brexit has happened and the UK has left, Macron has spotted something that we didn't catch, actually, which is kind of interesting. France is the only nuclear power now in the European Union, and Macron is capitalizing on that. So get into Emperor Macron's latest attempt to rule over Europe with France's nuclear arsenal behind him.
Indeed, sir. I mean, he's made an extraordinary speech just recently in which he's basically talking about the need for arms control and the dangers for Europe of arms control. But he's also saying, you know, that France has this great nuclear deterrent, its nuclear forces, and therefore it's France, essentially, that should be providing the protection to the Europeans, the nuclear protection that they're obviously, all the other European states, are yearning for. They're obviously yearning for Emperor Macron and his missiles to protect them from, well, whom exactly? From the Russians? Well, Macron supposedly wants to have good relations with the Russians. From Donald Trump? Well, Donald Trump leads the country with which most European states are allied with through NATO. From China? Well, China is far away, and it's the great economic powerhouse with which Europe wants to trade. So it's not quite clear to me who are these people that Macron wants to protect Europe from, but it's very clear that he does want to protect Europe from someone. And if I may say, I mean, again, putting irony to one side, here we see again Macron totally lost in his own illusions. This idea that France possessing nuclear weapons gives him and the French any leverage is ridiculous, but it's the kind of thinking that he has.
Is this all tied to this EU army initiative that he's very much in favor for, actually?
Absolutely. He wants an EU army. He wants France leading it because France is the great military power in Europe. It's also got the nuclear weapons. So essentially what this is, if you really drill down and try and understand what Macron is saying, what he's basically saying is he wants to be position France and ultimately himself as the leader of Europe's foreign and defense policies. He wants a European bloc somehow distinct from NATO, which he recently called brain dead, by the way. And at the same time, he wants to be the person who's going to lead it. And he thinks that having, you know, what is by European standards actually quite a good army, and it's an efficient army. The French military is quite well run. And nuclear weapons is going to make him somehow the natural leader of all of, you know, of this force. It's completely delusional, and it shows how completely Macron does not understand the real sentiments across Europe. But it also again shows how completely out of touch he is with feelings, the feelings of his own people.
I think it also shows how happy Macron is that Brexit has happened.
Yes.
I mean, he's expressing his joy that he's finally got the UK out.
Yes.
And now France is the number one military power in Europe, and he's going to use that to his advantage.
Absolutely.
And it is something that Germany does not have over him.
No.
Merkel does not have this over him.
No, that's entirely true. And may I add, and just to remind our viewers, you know, if we don't remind our viewers, no one else will, that we were pointing out way back a year ago, in the run-up to the original Brexit day, which is the 29th of March 2019, that Macron was quite clearly wanting to get the British out of the EU because he saw the British as an obstacle to his plans, both for greater integration within the EU, in other words, for the establishment of the EU superstate, and for the leading role that he wanted to play in it. So, you know, he was always someone who wanted Brexit done. And that was why he did this extraordinary deal with Boris Johnson when they met at the General Assembly in New York in September, which in the end did pave the way for Brexit. That's always been Macron's agenda. He's always wanted it. He's wanted the British out. he's wanted to get the Germans to play along with him. And he thinks that, you know, the fact that France has an army, you know, a strong army and nuclear weapons, that that's going to give him huge leverage over the Germans. The Germans will not be impressed by this at all.
Who's he doing this for, Alexander? I mean, we have protest after protest in France, from the Yellow Vest to the transport strike. And now I read that there's now, I believe it's a teacher strike.
Yes.
That's going on right now. Teachers protest as well.
Absolutely.
It seems like he's just letting his country fall apart while he's speaking to some Brussels elite, elitist core group of people. I'm trying to understand, who are these speeches for?
Well, indeed.
Why is he doing this?
I recently met at a social event a person who has just been to Paris, and I learned from this person that Paris is in a state of total lockdown. I mean, in the sense that it's looking more slummy than it has ever done, and there's armed police everywhere now, and you know the situation is incredibly tense in ways that it has never been before. But Macron, it seems to me, is, you know, insulated from all this within the Elysee Palace. I don't think he really understands the extent to which it's going on. And at the same time, you know, it's not unusual for some political leaders, as they sense that, you know, the political situation beneath them is disintegrating, to try to escape from having to deal with those problems by embracing these fantasies of, you know, great, you know, military power, France, the great superpower, and all that. In a way, the two are not, you know, disconnected. I mean, you know, famously, Hitler was spending his time, you know, as the shells were falling in the bunker, he was planning all the great cities he was going to build. There is something of this element about Macron, I think, that, you know, he's also losing touch with reality and escaping into his own fantasies.
It's really incredible to see this happening. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, he's not going to be winning any friends in NATO or the US either.
No. I mean, the Americans will be very angry with this because, of course, as far as they're concerned, the only country that provides the umbrella, the nuclear umbrella, is the United States. And can I just say, I mean, the United States, its nuclear arsenal dwarfs that of France. The idea that France can be a substitute for the United States in military terms is just nonsensical. I mean, when there was the attack on Libya in 2011, which the French were at the forefront of, it became very clear that beyond a certain point, the French couldn't operate. I mean, they needed, you know, rockets and missiles and bombs to be provided by the US, because they would have run out of them. Without US logistical support, it was impossible. So yes, France has an army, and a good one. France has a navy, and a good one. And France has a nuclear forces. But it is not remotely a superpower in the way that the United States is. And it is delusional for Macron to think in those terms. But the Americans are going to be very angry with this. I mean, they're not going to take it seriously. I don't think they take Macron very seriously. Certainly, I don't think Trump takes Macron very seriously anymore. But they're not going to be pleased. And of course, the Germans are going to be absolutely furious, because here again, they see Macron stepping into onto their own turf. As far as the Germans are concerned, it is they who are the key country in the EU, because they've got the big economic power. And the Germans have this well-established relationship with the US, and they don't want Macron coming along and meddling with it. So the Germans are going to be angry. The Americans are going to be angry. The British don't count anymore, but they're not going to be pleased, because, you know, they don't want France leading Europe in this way either, because that reduces whatever residual role Britain still has in shaping European foreign policy. And of course, all the other European powers are not going to be impressed at all, because they don't believe it. They know perfectly well that what Macron is talking about is a load of tosh. So he's not impressing people in France, because the people in France don't care about these fantastic things that he's talking about. What they care about is the fact that their country is, you know, not in a good way. And he's not interested in all of that. So the French people don't care about it. The Americans are angry about it. The Germans will be angry about it. The British won't be happy about it. And most Europeans, as I said, are going to be completely unimpressed about it. He's talking to himself.
And the Russians, are they saying he's directing this nuclear, you know, talk at us?
Is well, I presume they do. But I mean, you know, I think the Russians have got the sense of Macron pretty well. I mean, I'll never forget the first time that Macron met with Putin, and he was giving Putin these long lectures about Russian history and about how Russia was a European country. And it was so condescending and so patronizing, you know. Macron is lecturing Putin about the history of Putin's own country. And anyway, but I think the Russians have worked out now that, you know, Macron is just basically a fool. I'm not sure he's exactly a fool. But anyway, an empty vessel. And at the same time, I think they realize that this sort of folie de grandeur that he has, they can actually exploit it in all sorts of ways. I mean, they can sort of make him think that he's more important than he really is, and use him to try to gain leverage over the others by, you know, saying, you know, we've been talking to the French, and Monsieur Macron thinks as we do on Syria or on trade or on Ukraine especially. And I think they play him like a violin, if I have to say what I think.
I wonder if, like, you know, the political system inside of France and the opposition is just looking on and saying, you know, let him run around Europe and make these ridiculous speeches. Our time to get into power is coming.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think what I'm hearing is that Le Pen's, because she is the opposition in France, that Le Pen's ratings are rising. And I wonder for how much longer, even, you know, I mean, there's huge resistance in France to the idea of a Le Pen presidency. But I mean, given the choice between Le Pen and this utterly ridiculous situation that you have with Macron, I wonder whether the French people will just tolerate absurdity taken to these levels. One of the things I've learned in politics is that the one thing people don't forgive is the sense, is a feeling that their leader is making their whole country appear ridiculous. I've seen this so many times. And it's the thing that really annoys and upsets people almost more than anything. We got something of that with Greece and Tsipras. And, you know, I can remember it in other situations also. So I think there could be a very strong reaction against Macron. Well, of course, he's huge opposition to him already. But, you know, I think this could be beyond a certain point, reach a critical point where, I mean, there's no coming back from it.
Yeah. Alexander Mercurs, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like button. Look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud as well to get an audio copy of this video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. And pick up some magic mugs and some magic t-shirts. And if you're going to pick up a magic mug, maybe buy one for Macron as well, because I think he needs all the IQ help that a magic mug can give him.
Absolutely. He needs a proper mug to sort of bring him down to earth, one which he can read, drink from, and at the same time feel that, you know, his mental cells are finally getting some proper sustenance rather than these clouds of fancy that he seems to be governed by. And he couldn't drink from a better mug than this one, because our magic mugs are absolutely beautiful. We made a choice when we started the Duran to go for quality, and you can see it in the quality of these mugs. I've had this one now for almost a year. It is as good as new, literally. It is beautiful. It's light and strong and incredibly well balanced. It's got this beautiful luster, which shows you how fine the porcelain body is. And you see also there's no discoloration, no cracks, no chips, nothing. And by the way, the coat of arms is that of the Russian Federation. as you will find on Vladimir Putin's mugs. I'm sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't have mugs as good as ours, but certainly the mugs that he does have carry this this badge, and he's definitely someone that Macron can learn from. Macron trying to teach him. In fact, it's Putin who ought to be the teacher and Macron the student, but that's another story. And of course, it's not just marvelous magic mugs that we have. We have amazing shirts like the one I'm wearing now, 100% cotton, long sleeved in this case, incredibly comfortable, extremely hard wearing. I've had this one now for almost a year, and it's in perfect condition. It is literally as good as new. I would add, by the way, that it irons beautifully, which is something else about our shirts because they're so well made. And you can also get other shirts. You can get t-shirts, similar quality t-shirts. You can get polo neck shirts, which are the absolute epitome of smart casual. And you can get v-neck shirts too. And you can also get hats, hoodies, and stickers. And you can buy ebooks, which we are now really excited about because it's our way of actually enlarging and discussing the various topics that we do on our videos. So you find all those great things in our shop. You support us at the Duran by buying these things from our shop. You will be the owner of items of amazing quality. So don't go back, don't hold back, support the Duran. Be the proud owner of these great things. Go to our shop. Alex will tell you how.
Go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander McCurris, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.